Welcome to The Gut Goddess Show, a weekly podcast to help you create one happier, flatter, and more joyful belly and life. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, a holistic nutritionist and all-round nutrition and food geek and lover of Sharpie pens. I mean, seriously, I just can't get enough of Sharpie pens. I think I have like 50 already. Welcome to this week's Gut Goddess episode. This is episode, episode 20, yes. And what we're going to do today is I'm going to be sharing with you some brand new training that I have been figuring out for probably the last 6 months. And this is, I'm really excited. It's called the Belly Love Methodology. And I have been racking my brains, analyzing my case notes, looking at research, asking the women that I work with, and figuring out what are the key pillars to everything that I do. And what are the key steps, basically, that you need to take in order to really create that beautiful, effortlessly healthy life that makes you feel so alive and so joyful and beautiful and sexy and energized. And what are those things? Because I know you probably feel overwhelmed. You probably feel overwhelmed at what diet label to have, what to eat, what not to eat, what to eat more of, what to eat less of. What about supplements? How should you exercise? What about meditation? There's so many things that could be overwhelming. And so I wanted to create a structure that made it really easy for you to work on your health and to really see those changes and that transformation that you 100% deserve and desire. So that's what we're talking about today. So I'm going to be talking about the four pillars to a happier, flatter, and more joyful belly and life, because that's really what this show is about. But before we dive on in, I first want to give a shout out to some of the reviews. Honestly, I love getting reviews. It makes me so happy. And reviews are really, really helpful. I mean, they make me happy, which is, a great excuse and reason to do it. But they also really help me to reach more people on this podcast, help me in getting guests on the show. And the more reviews you have, the kind of more bigger sort of experts you can get on. And it also helps me to direct where the show's going. I create the show as a free resource, as a way of serving you each week, of keeping you inspired, keeping you on track, as an education and teaching tool that's easy for you to access, that you can use to really help you on your own health journey. Because I genuinely want you to heal. I really want you to feel better. I want you to live a really full and beautiful life. And I'm convinced that your health is a really important part of that. Having had chronic health issues, I know how much it impacts your life. It really reduces your day-to-day down to what can I manage with my pain? What can I manage with my energy? What can I manage with my mental health issue? What can I manage with my bowel problems? You know, do I have the confidence to go for that job with my skin being the way it is? Do I have the energy to really do that course? Do I have the energy to have children and to have sleepless nights? All of these things. And our health is so, so important. And that's why I do this show. Sorry, I'm going off on a rant because just about how powerful health is. So I'm going to share a review from Law. So she gave it a 5-star rating and she said, I'm traveling down to Oxford and binge listened to 5 episodes. Thanks, Kezia, for making my journey so enjoyable and informative with your knowledge, wit, and wisdom. Thanks, Law. You're so sweet. I love it. That's so nice. So if you have a review, I've chatted to a few people that are like, I can't seem to leave a review. In the show notes, I've made a little image or infographic to show you how to do it. So what you basically do is you ideally want to go to iTunes and your iTunes kind of store, search for the Gut Goddess Show. And then what you'll see is you'll see options of details, ratings, reviews, and related at the top. So you want to click on ratings and review, and there should be an option to write a review. And you can just leave a star rating, but ideally I'd love to hear your words as well, which would be great. So, and there's, I'd love to see more reviews from you. It just really helps me, and you know, in all honesty, this podcast costs me time and money to deliver. It's not always free in either time or finance, but I know for me that podcasts are such a helpful training and valuable resource for me, and so it's really great just to hear that people are listening. So that's a little bit of an update from me. Another thing is, I'm super excited. I'm going to be running a free 5-day challenge. Woo! Well, it's a free 5-day challenge and workshop. So it's my Beat the Bloat workshop. And actually in this workshop, it's all going to be based on this new training, the Belly Love methodology, that I'm going to explain to you what that is soon. But if you like this methodology, if you are looking to sort out your belly, in, you know, not just from the outside, but from the inside, if you're looking to create healthy habits at last, if you want to get better, improve your energy, and know how to sort out your hormones and really support your body, then this, the Beat the Bloat workshop and 5-day challenge is the place to be. So we kick off on Wednesday, the 27th of June. I'm going to be doing 3 sessions of an in-depth 90-minute training all around these 4 pillars. With all my training is super practical, guys. I don't just like faff on and waffle about, you know, my own health story. It's really, really tangible. Plus, so you'll have those workshops. And then I've created a Facebook group that's going to be available for 5 days, where I'm going to be in there not quite 24/7, because I need to sleep, guys, let's be honest. But I'll be in there every day to really help you implement these things, take action, answer your questions. There's also going to be some meal plans and recipes provided and a workbook. It's really going to be an amazing 5-day challenge, and I would love to see you in there. Like, I really would. It would be such a nice place to connect and hear and have you at the other side of the conversation. These training workshops are going to be jam-packed, and I know that if you implement just one of the things and one of the actions I talk about, you're going to see some amazing results. And I've gotten amazing feedback from previous people that have done these free challenges and free workshops. And even now, like I think the first one I did was maybe like 2 years ago. And even now I'll chat to people in my community or clients where they'll say, oh, I originally did that challenge and that kickstarted something totally new in my life. Or I made this one change and since then everything's been different. So I would love to have you in the Beat the Bloat workshop and challenge. It's going to be really fun. It's probably going to be, I imagine, the last kind of live challenge that I do this year, because I'll be going on maternity leave in August. So otherwise, a couple of life updates from me. I, as of today, I'm officially in my entering the third trimester, apparently, according to my app. I'm not very good at keeping on track with these things. People often ask me how pregnant I am, and I'm like, I don't know. Hold on, let me check my app. So baby is coming sometime in September, so I'm in the process of getting stuff sorted, and I will be doing a blog post on this, putting it up probably in the next week or so, giving an update on my second trimester. And in the last probably 3 or 4 weeks, I've actually started to feel half decent. So sorry if that burst some of your bubbles. I have generally found this pregnancy hard in terms of how I feel. And just pain and different things going on. So, but in the last couple of weeks, I've actually started to feel okay. I'm still getting pelvic girdle pain and some back and hip issues, but you know, it's all whatever. It's just life. But I've actually been starting to feel good and just a bit more normal and, you know, a bit more energy. So that is very exciting. It's a little bit of an update. And I've started to be writing, I'm a bit of a list person, so bless my husband. I've written like a trazillion lists of things I'd ideally like to get done before baby comes. So there's a house list, hence the builders. We had builders in last week that caused chaos. So house list of all the DIY things happening. So I'm pretty sure post-baby, I'm not going to be doing a lot of DIY. Stuff to cook for the fridge, practical, obviously stuff to actually buy for babies. I'm not actually very organized. Like, I'm trying to get away with basically buying as minimal things as possible and then just buying what I feel like I need along the way. Also, I'm really, really privileged to be in a great community where I'm gonna be able to get given lots of stuff, and anything else that I don't get given, I'll just probably find on Gumtree or something. So I'm trying to buy as minimal things and not get super materialistic about this whole process. And actually, to be honest, a lot of the money we've invested has been investing it in me. Sounds super selfish, but I'm owning it, guys. I've been super selfish in this pregnancy, and I am okay with that. I am 100% okay with it. So a lot of our finances has gone into things like acupuncture for me, a chiropractor. I also want some money for postpartum support with those things, the chiropractor and some cranial osteo work, I think that's how you call it, and other things like that. So I'm actually choosing to invest less in the material things for baby, and actually focusing more on some of the things that are going to really help me in terms of my recovery and in terms of baby's health when he comes into the world. So that is a couple of updates from me. And we're having a boy. I don't think I've said that on the podcast. We're having a boy. There's going to be a little boy haul, a little supernaturally healthy boy, which is exciting. So we found that out at our 20-week scan. And I'm so glad I did. I thought I was having a girl. So it's helped me to get my head around that. But I'm really, really excited, actually, to meet him. So those are my updates. But let's get on with the show. If you want to join the Beat the Bloat workshop and challenge, head to supernaturallyhealthy.org/WP/bloat. Or you can head to the show notes and there'll be a big-ass link in there that you can join. Otherwise, let's get on and chat about my signature belly love methodology that is going to help you to totally transform your health and life. So over the last, I'd probably say, good couple of months, I have been doing a bunch of work to really think about what are the key things, the key factors, foundations, and steps that are really going to help the people and women that I work with really sort of move the needle when it comes to their health. You know, I work with different women who everyone comes to me, has a different health history, obviously a different set of genetics, different set of symptoms. And yes, there's some similarities, but everyone is so different. And that's a real core value that I have in the work that I do. But what are the key foundations in terms of, I see a lot of what I do and a lot of what my role is around education and teaching and equipping and inspiring you so that you can see amazing results, whether or not you ever kind of work with me in any formal way or pay me money. And so I've been really thinking about what does it really boil down to? And I've spoken to so many women that they come to me when we're working one-on-one and they're just totally overwhelmed. You know, should they eat less meat? Should they not eat dairy? What about gluten? What about sugar? Should they take a folate supplement? What about B12? What about a probiotic? Doesn't seem to be making any difference. They've read about this, they've read about that, and they're actually just totally overwhelmed because they don't know what are the main things to focus on. So I've spent a good bit of time really trying to distill down the work that I do across my clients and across my group coaching program and everything that I do of what are the key pillars that are really, really important that actually apply to nearly every woman that I speak to that's going to help them to see some really amazing results. And that's how I've came up with the Belly Love methodology. And I realize every single interaction that I have or kind of protocol strategies that I create is all based around this Belly Love methodology. And that is what I want to share with you today. And it's the core foundation of Nourish, my group coaching membership program, which if you love the Gut Goddess show, then you will love being in Nourish. It's really an amazing place to be. And it's what I do with my one-to-one clients and even just some of my digital products and eBooks are all based kind of on these foundations. So I want to take a little bit of time to go through these four steps for you to create one happier and flatter and more joyful belly and life. Because that's really what this show is about and what I'm here to help you do and to see. So I'm going to go through them relatively quickly. Again, like I've mentioned, if you want to know more on this, I'm going to go more in depth in this in my Beat the Bloat workshop, which is kicking off on the 27th of June. And also I'm following that up with a 5-day free coaching challenge as well. So there's going to be the Beat the Bloat workshop and challenge kicking off on the 27th of June. Whether, you know, if you're bloated every day or every week, this is the perfect place for you. But even if you don't feel super bloated, I'd still recommend you join, because most of the time people don't realize they're bloated. Like, it's just become part of their norm. Also, if there's hormonal imbalances or you're really struggling to create habits that last, this challenge and workshop is going to be a great place for you to actually implement these things I'm going to talk about. And it's going to be where I'm hanging out for 5 days. You can get input from me. I'm going to be doing some in-depth training. There's going to be meal plans, resources. Anyway, all that sort of good stuff. So the belly love methodology. Now, there's 4 different kind of parts and steps and pillars to this, and no, in no particular order of priority, I'd say they're all equally important. But with individuals, probably I'd say every individual probably has one of these areas that they need to work on the most. That's the kind of strongest area that they need to develop and work on. So the first one I want to look at is food love. So the belly love methodology is made up of all these different things. And the first one is food love. So this is really just actually, it was pretty practical. And it's about really what to eat and what to eat more of. And a lot of my philosophy, you know, I was chatting with a client this week and I was talking to her about having 2 breakfasts because of some of the different health things going on and imbalances happening. And she was like, you're asking me to eat more. And people are always surprised, because a lot of the time I do ask people to eat more, and I ask them to eat more of the nutrient dense, awesome whole foods. So what actually to eat? But it's a really, really important part of this methodology. I think people are really confused about what the heck to eat, about what actual research says, about what's going to work for them. And I think learning what works for your body is really important. And in this kind of pillar and in this part of this methodology, I'm not necessarily going to say everyone needs to then follow a Mediterranean diet or a paleo diet or a vegan diet. I think there can be really great benefits to all of those different ways of eating, but actually you've got to first start with what do you eat that works for you, and also start with a few key foundations. So for me, a few things that I am totally convinced of that will help nearly everyone on the planet is reducing their refined sugar consumption and ditching any sugar addiction they have. That is one really easy pillar to put within this section is sugar. It's just really quite inflammatory. It's not got a lot of nutrients. It's not necessary, you know, and our culture, when you look at how much sugar we consume on average in a year, it is like more than like quadrupled in the last 60 years. And then you look at rates of increased diabetes and other inflammatory issues. You know, it's not the only contributing factor, but it makes sense in my brain that those two things are linked. So food love, this pillar is really, you know, sugar is a really easy way of, that's a good universal principle. And then other things in terms of what to eat and what to eat more of, I talk a lot about as the kind of fat burning 4 often in my Nourish community. It's all about fats, proteins, fiber, and vegetables. So those things, again, are all stuff that I think people could do with eating a bit more of. Again, everyone's slightly different. Some people, if they have lots of kidney issues, they might not be wanting loads of protein. Other people might not do that well with digesting fats. Some people with gut issues might not be able to tolerate lots of vegetables, especially raw vegetables. So you've got to get, you know, find your balance. But this key kind of principle is really about figuring out what food works for you. And actually the key sort of foundations of that are around reducing your sugar intake and looking at any food intolerances, which I've spoken about a lot on the podcast before. And also really thinking about increasing your fiber, veggies, fat, and vegetable intake, and figuring out what really works for you in that level. So that is the first pillar, is food love, actually what to eat. And if you want to know more about that in detail and get like a little bit more information, you can head to one of my previous episodes where it's basically what to eat. That's what I've called it, is, you know, what the heck to eat, because it's really confusing. I get people asking me like all the time, like, should I eat this? What about this? You know, it's just a little bit overwhelming. So that's a really, really important part of it, you know, actually the stuff that we're eating. And so you can head to, so I've just been searching for what that episode is. Oh, episode 2 is aka how to eat, how a gut goddess eats. So if you haven't listened to that, and also in episode 5, I talk more about sugar. And in episode 13, I talk about being gluten free. So I've dived a lot into kind of food stuff. So I'm not going to spend too much more time on that. But that's a really important pillar. What we eat fuels our cells. What we eat goes into our bloodstream, obviously not directly, but it, you know, the foods that we eat can fuel our dreams, they can fuel our bodies, they can fuel our healing, or actually they can make our life harder, they can drain our energy, and they can make things really problematic. I'm so passionate about the food that we eat, and I think it is one of the most underutilized, underrated aspects of our health and part of our culture, actually. And we can really leverage the foods that we eat to help us to get to where we want to be, not just in terms of weight or, you know, less bloating, but in terms of our cognitive ability, in terms of our ability to handle stress in our jobs, in our careers, in our parenting. Actually, what we eat, I 100% believe, impacts every single aspect of our lives, not just the tangible health aspects. And making sure that we're eating foods that make us and make you feel really, really good is so, so important. So food love, obviously, it's a really, really important part of this methodology and a really important part of everything that I do with my clients. So that's number one. Number two is gut love. So gut love, what do I mean by this? What this really is about, this foundation is really about your digestion. And the whole principle, and I think it's originally an Ayurvedic principle, is that you are not what you eat, you are what you digest. And really honor this principle and pillar is really honoring and acknowledging the fact that gut health is really foundational for full mind, body, soul health. And we know that from research, you know, there's been a lot of research into the microbiome, the gut microbiome specifically. You have lots of microbiomes in your body, FYI, so there's not just the microbiome. But so in your gut microbiome, lots of research with that to do with your mental health, with depression, with learning difficulties, with your hormones, with fertility, with your energy levels, with your autoimmune conditions, with cancers, with, you know, there's just lots and lots of interest and ongoing research, especially in the last 10 to 15 years on this. And gut health, you know, Hippocrates said years ago, let all disease begins in the gut, basically. And that was, you know, acknowledged many, many years ago. And we've kind of lost our way with that with Western medicine. And we've compartmentalized things, put areas of the body in boxes, you know, so you have your gastroenterologist, your endocrinologist, your psychiatrist, all these boxes, which I do understand the need for that kind of structure, but it really hasn't helped us to realize that our bodies work as one beautiful system. They are one thing. It's your gut is, you know, not somehow separated from your mind. Your gut is, your liver is not completely on its own and never interacts with your bloodstream or your, you know, the air that you breathe in. Our bodies are one beautiful complex. I have to say, the more I learn about it, the more that I realize, oh my gosh, this is super complex. The human body. But it is one whole machine. And actually the gut, from the research that I've done, from my own experience, from working with clients, from reading papers and doing my master's in nutritional science, I am more convinced, and I become more and more convinced of how foundational your gut health is for your overall mind, body, and soul health. And that's not just my personal preference. I think that's quite convincing from the research that we have. And so making sure that your gut health, meaning your digestive health, meaning from your mouth, your esophagus, your stomach, your liver, gallbladder, pancreas kind of goes in there as well, because they'll contribute, your small intestine, your large intestine, your rectum, the poop that's coming out of you, you know, things like your ileal cecal valves, all the valves along that system, that contribute all the enzymes, the stomach acid, the bacterial ecosystem, all of that is incorporated into this, your idea of gut health. And it's really important that we optimize that. One of the best things that you can do for your health is to really nourish and support ongoing gut health, ongoing digestive support, whether or not you have digestive issues. So some of you might be sitting here and you have like IBS, or you have IBS type symptoms of bloating, and maybe you swing from constipation to diarrhea. And so you're like, yeah, definitely, you know, I know I need to work on this. And some of you might not. You might not have obvious digestive symptoms. That does not mean you shouldn't support your gut. I 100% believe that supporting our gut health is a really, really important part of our of the way we should live our lives, whether or not we have great digestive issues. Now, obviously, for some of you will be like me, and this area of gut health is maybe one of your most problematic areas. But even if you don't, you're not bloated, and you're not, you know, you poop every day, and you don't have reflux, and you know, it's really not an issue. This is still something to intentionally support in if you want to move forward. Because if you're looking to target your fertility or your weight loss, or you know, like me, you know, I'm 7 months pregnant as I'm recording this, and prior to getting pregnant, the last few years, I've been so aware that I am directly my baby's microbiome, my baby's gut health is going to develop pretty much directly from mine. And I want to pass on the best, the best that I possibly can. And I know I can't be a perfectionist about that. And I know I need to give myself grace. And there's no blame and there's no shame. But I know that I want to pass on the best support that I can as to my children, because it will not only affect them, it will affect their children and their children. And I can see in my own life and health how there has been a slight deterioration from generation to generation. And I understand fully really why my health has been the way it is from various factors. Not that this is not a blame game by any means, but from looking, you know, say at my grandma's and their diet and their input and, you know, things that I've received, it's a really, really important part of actually how we can change our world, is if we can produce children with really healthy microbiomes where possible. But it's not just, you know, fertility, it's also about your mood. I would say nearly 80% of my clients have some form of depression, anxiety, or other mental health disorder. And it's something I've struggled with, and I'll do some podcasts directly on depression and mental health, I think, because it was worth its own issue. But it's so interlinked, and it's such a missing link for people. And with antidepressants being one of the most prescribed drugs, and I have no problem with antidepressants, by the way, I'm not, I don't have a bone to pick with them. I have a bone to pick with the pharmaceutical industry. But you know, if you need an SSRI or something to really help, and that you find that really helpful, then it's 100% worth doing. But the amount, it's such a prescribed drug, and actually there's no conversation or look at, you know, how is someone's gut health, because about 80% of your serotonin is going to be produced in your gut. And if your gut is inflamed, if it's out of balance, you're going to really struggle to just feel good. You're going to struggle to get your head above the water and to see the sunshine, as it were. So gut health is really important, and hence this being the Gut Goddess Show. You know, I love talking to people about their gut health, and I'm so passionate and convinced that whatever it is you're facing, if you have rheumatoid arthritis, or maybe you are, you know, you're thinking osteoporosis runs in your family, you have maybe cancer that runs in your family and you're looking to prevent that, or there's diabetes, or you have a thyroid issue, all of those things can be linked to your gut function. They're not, you know, your gut's not the be all and end all. Everyone's slightly different, but it is really, really important. And so this principle is something I'm really passionate about. I'm increasingly convinced of it through research and everything that's coming out. And I know in myself and my own clients that actually when you can focus on gut health, a lot of the other stuff will improve and sort itself out. So that's the second sort of part of this belly love methodology. And I've done lots of episodes on things around that. And again, Beating the Bloat workshop, we're going to talk about that a lot more. And in the 5-day challenge, we'll be able to kind of get into that. And if you haven't heard my story of it, and my own sordid incontinence story, then you can head to episode 1 and I share how my story of being sad, sick and stuck on the loo. And you can find out a little bit more of that there. So that is pillar number 2. And number 3, which is really important, is body love. So you could be eating kale and fermented foods, and you could be like, you know, doing body brushing and doing, you know, going to the gym or whatever, and you could be hitting that all up and doing great. But if you hate your body, and if your relationship with food is just totally buggered, then you are going to really struggle to create habits that last. So this part of the methodology is really making sure that people are setting themselves up for success and are able to create habits that last. I cannot tell you how many people I've spoken to that have maybe done some like 30-day program and it's gone really great and they've felt great and then everything's just gone down the toilet. Or they've tried being gluten-free and they know for them that it did really help massively for whatever reason, but they just couldn't stick at it. And often what this comes down to is your mindset and the value that you have for your body. So but this body love component is a really, really important aspect. And it's all about your mindset. It's all about what are your core values and beliefs that are driving your behaviors. Because I can't tell you how many women I've spoken to that are in this situation. And maybe you will recognize this. So I'll maybe ask them how they would like to feel, like, what is their goal for their health? And they're often very clear on that. They'd like to maybe be less bloated, have less painful periods, and have more energy, especially in the day because they feel like their energy's declined. So they're very clear on their goal and what they want. But then when they look at their behaviors are things like getting to bed really late, eating loads of sugar at night, maybe drinking too much alcohol, having too much tea or coffee and caffeine. And their behaviors are actually their behaviors are things that are actually detrimental to their goal. So they're consistently doing things, taking action that go against the goal that they very clearly have. And this disconnect is really common. Nearly all the people I work with in my community, in my one-to-one practice, that have this disconnect. And this body love aspect is about really figuring out why the heck you are self-sabotaging, why there is this disconnect between your behaviors and your goals. Why is it that you are unable to create habits that last, and how can you do that? How can you create that life and change your default so that your default choices, like your autopilot for healthy eating and living, is actually gonna do you good and set you up for success. So lots of times people can manage to eat really healthy, for example, when everything in their life is going perfect. But as soon as some shit hits the fan, as soon as they eat, or even if they go on holiday, or as soon as something changes, everything goes to pot. And I would suggest to you that that is because people are spending actually way too much energy trying to stick to a plan, and I say in air quotes, instead of actually learning how to change their default, how to create a lifestyle, how to create healthy habits that are on autopilot. And that is one of the most powerful things that you can do for your health. And the way that you do that isn't by eating more kale or going to the gym more. You do that by learning to love your body as it is now, and by being aware of the mindset and the core beliefs and values that are driving your behavior. Because you're not stupid. Like, you probably already know roughly what food is going to make you feel good. But the fact is that you maybe, or what habits are going to make you feel good. But the fact fact isn't that you lack knowledge, it's that you lack the ability to consistently express that and create that behavior that's going to do you good. And that's not to do with a lack of knowledge, it's not to do with a personality failing, it's to do with these potential values and core beliefs that are driving that. And I think one of the biggest failings of the dieting industry specifically is because it just talks about food. It just tells people, eat this, count this, this calorie, this macronutrient, this sin, this point. And it never gets people to look at why the heck are you in this place to begin with. And the reason often is, or one of the reasons, not the only reason, is because there's this disconnect between your dream health and the actual behaviors you're expressing. They don't match up. They are misaligned. In fact, they often go against each other. Your behaviors directly go against what your actual goals are. And if you want to see lasting change in your life and in your belly and in your hormones and in, you know, just your future, you've got to look at addressing that. And I know for me that I really noticed that in my own life. Like, so I went on holiday recently, and actually, you know what, my default position and habits are ones that are healthy. And I mean, and then that's a good example, you know, I'm going on holiday and that's nice and relaxing, so maybe that's nice and easier. But even when I faced really difficult things and had a really, like, to be honest, last week I had a really difficult week. I think some of it was pregnancy hormones. I just felt a bit down and depressed. We had builders in to do what I thought was a small job, and it turned out to basically make my house into a building site for a week. There was plaster, dust everywhere. I had 3 workmen in the house all the time. They were lovely, but I'm a total introvert and I just found that really stressful. I had a lot of business work on. I had my Viva assessment, so that was in the back of my mind. I was having some pain with the pregnancy and just a couple of other things going on. And it was just a tough week. I was just glad for that week to be over. And sure, like, I probably was eating, I wasn't able to make the most amazing Instagram-worthy meals that week. But my default was still, you know, making sure I'm eating broccoli and green vegetables. And, you know, when I wanted a nice comforting treat, I made myself some cookies and cookie dough. I didn't like just go and grab dairy milk, like all my default things, you know, drinking enough water, herbal teas. Those are all things that I do effortlessly. I'm not trying to be healthy or trying to do it. And I know at first, when you're first making changes, there is an intention and there is an effort to do it. But when you stick at something consistently, which is why I run my membership community, because it's helping people to create consistent change, not just doing like one-off things, then actually it does become your default. And honestly, I've had lots of conversations with my current members recently, because every 6 months I like to pick a handful of members and just see how the Nourish community is going and what could be better and all of that sort of stuff. And it's been so amazing just to hear, you know, they've maybe been in my Nourish community for a year, and just asking them a few questions. And through the process of our conversation, they realize how much has changed in a year and how actually their default has shifted, and how they'll not easily make a green smoothie now, or they'll easily, you know, steam some broccoli to have with their dinner. And they don't beat themselves up about that Indian takeaway anymore, or when they go to their grands for afternoon tea and eat like loads of scones and creams. You know, it doesn't send them into a spiral of failure and doom. And actually, that is one of the most amazing things that you can do for your health. So body love and the value you have for your body, the value you have for you and who you are and the skin that you are in. I always say that, you know, a lot of the time you can look at some of these healthy eating programs and how they're marketed to you are is like, become better by eating healthier, or become better by getting slimmer, or become better by eating this way. And actually that is not, I don't agree with that. You eat and live in a healthy way because you are already so valuable and so beautiful. Why would you treat yourself any other way? Why would you have a habit that doesn't serve you? Because you are already so beautiful, so valuable, and so worthwhile. There is so much value in who you are as a person. why would you want to kind of contaminate yourself with crappy thinking or crappy habits or crappy food that's actually not going to build up the beautiful you that is already existing? So don't hear what I'm not saying. This is never about improving yourself, actually. It's about aligning your habits and your eating with who you already are. So that's kind of pillar number three. And as you can tell, I'm pretty passionate about that. Although, to be fair, I'm pretty passionate about all of these. Get me onto gut stuff and your poop and your periods. These are all the things that totally fire me up. And I think all of them are equally important. I really do. So thank you for bearing with me, guys, on all of this. We're now on to our final belly love pillar or of the belly love methodology. And that is hormonal love. We have got to give our hormones some love, ladies. Because I have to say, I'm not sure I have worked with someone who on some level, their hormones are not a little bit off. And as females, we get the privilege of just being very hormonal and being our lives being based around a very specific hormonal cycle. And that, I know lots of you might be like, Kezia, that's not a privilege, that's a freaking curse. But actually, I would encourage you to change your mindset around that if you can. But equally, so many women are really struggling with their hormones. And so just to clarify, hormones are messengers. They're like little letters or little messages, text messages that kind of go around the body. They are created in the body by your different glands. So you have like your thyroid gland, your adrenal gland, your pituitary gland, your, lots of these different things that will produce hormones and their chemical messages. And then they'll go around and deliver these messages to the body and make stuff happen. That's a really basic level. And so you have hormones, and most of the time when you think of hormones as women, you'll think of like your sex hormones. So things like estrogen and progesterone, or maybe your luteinizing hormone, or these kinds of different things. And they are for sure hormones, but you also have other hormones in the body that are really, really important, like insulin. Insulin is a hormone, and that's really responsible for storing glucose in our blood and keeping our blood sugar really happy and regular. You have things like leptin and loads and loads of others. But in this particular pillar, the main things that I really focus on and are around insulin and are around your sex hormones. So there's lots of hormones that we could look at, but I find with most people, actually, most of the imbalances are around these two things. So this pillar is a really, really important aspect, because say, for example, your periods might be totally fine. Or maybe you're not quite sure because you're on maybe an artificial hormone, so it's kind of it's controlled with medication. Or your periods are just kind of fine, they're regular, not that problematic. You're a bit like, yeah, whatevs. But maybe your insulin is off. Or vice versa. Maybe you are like, Kezia, insulin, I'm pretty sure my insulin's fine. But your actual cycle is painful, it's heavy, it's non-existent. It makes you really anxious. I was chatting to someone yesterday who was like, I literally become a bit of a crazy person the week before my period. And that's really common for women. And just because it's common doesn't mean it's normal. So it's super common. I've had lots of hormonal issues myself, which was why I was so surprised at getting pregnant so quickly. I was like, oh, wow, really? First time round. We're pregnant. There we go. Supporting your hormones. This stuff about supporting your hormones obviously works. I was literally, because I work with clients that have fertility issues. So there's a bit of a side story. I literally was like, okay, we'll stop using contraception, which for us was a blend of condoms and natural family planning and that kind of thing. And then I was like, okay, I'll give myself a good probably 6 to 9 months a year just to see, to give my body time, get some investigations done if there's any issues, all of that sort of stuff. Because obviously you never know with these kinds of things. And then, I think in hindsight, I think we probably got pregnant like literally straight away. So this stuff works, guys. And I know that's not everyone's story, and that you know, getting pregnant straight away is not the sign of health by any means. But that's just a little side note. It makes me laugh. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, yeah, I'll give myself a whole year to get pregnant. And I was planning that out, thinking I'd maybe get my dissertation done, have another like 18 months or a year to work on my business. And then it's like, nope. Baby coming in September 2018. Here we go. This adventure is beginning. But God knows what he's doing, so it's fine. So back to my sidetrack. Back onto hormonal love. You will really struggle as a woman to feel energized, to feel sexy, to feel good if your hormones are off. And that's why this is a really important pillar. So this is really about making sure your insulin management is going really well. And that is one of the biggest things and the most underrated things that people don't target often. And making sure your insulin management is healthy and robust is really important. And it's not just in a case of, you know, preventing diabetes, although obviously it really helps with that, or, you know, managing a type 2 diabetes, but also in terms of your sex hormones, it really links with that. So if your insulin hormone is a bit off kilter, it actually will potentially really affect your estrogen detoxification and contribute to an imbalance of those sex hormones, which can then lead to loads of other things. Also, your gut health plays an important role into this. There's so many interesting research around how your gut health really impacts, again, your estrogen detoxification and can contribute to things like potential endometriosis, PCOS, all of this sort of stuff. And so correcting and nourishing your hormones is really, really important. And that's something that I have like masterclasses on in my Nourish membership, is actually what can we do to really support your hormones? And all of the other pillars that I've mentioned, so food love, gut love, body love, will all support your hormones for sure. But it's a really, really important aspect. So even things like fiber, so I mentioned fiber before in terms of food, that can really help to contribute to your detoxification of estrogen and hormones that the body wants to get rid of. You know, there's certain foods that are really supportive of your hormones, like fat, making sure you have a good amount of healthy fats, making sure your digestion is on point will really support your hormones. So as women, whatever age you're at, whether you're kind of having your menstrual cycle, whether you're perimenopausal, postmenopausal, actually supporting your hormones is really important, because actually your hormones not just only affect your periods and your fertility and your skin, they also affect things like your sex life and libido. And sex is awesome, and it's something we want to be having A, regularly, and B, we want to be having fun when we have it. You know, if you're, you know, postmenopausal and there's a lot of vaginal dryness, you're not going to be enjoying sex. If your hormones are wonky, your libido might be really, really low and you're just not interested in anyone touching you. You know, all of these different things, your hormones really do rule the roost. And that's, you know, I've not even mentioned things like your thyroid and your adrenals, which all go into that. So that's why this is a really, really important part of it and why I really focus on it in my Nourish membership and with my clients. And it's something I'm going to go dive into more in my 5-day challenge and in the Beat the Bloat workshop. But it's really, really, really helpful to look at. And the beautiful thing about all these different pillars, so food love, gut love, body love, and hormonal love, these four pillars all work together. So if you just spent some time working on body love, actually, and what those things, that's actually really going to support your hormones, your gut, and really help you to eat, help your habits around food. If you spend a bit of time focusing on your digestion and on gut love, that's going to really support your skin and your hormones and your mindset and your actual mental well-being, and really going to help your food choices. So they all work in this beautiful synergy together. And that's why I'm so excited about that. Finally, after several months of like thinking and trying to figure out what is it that I do with people, that I've really created this methodology that I am so passionate about and I know is going to help you to see the results. So if you want to know more about, okay, what are the actions you can take on this? What does this look like? How to get practical, what to eat, what not to eat, what's going to be helpful, things about supplements, then do make sure you join me in the Beat the Bloat 5-day challenge and workshop. So you can head to that by supernaturallyhealthy.org /WP/bloat, or head to the show notes on Instagram. You'll be able to head to the link there, or it should easily be found on my Facebook page as well. So it would be great to have you in there. If you want to know more and actually start to implement one of these things in the challenge itself, I'm going to help you figure out which one of these pillars to focus on first and how to, and what are the action points around that. So you don't want to do all of this at once. You want to focus on one thing first and see some real changes with that. So I hope this has been helpful for you guys, and I love to hear from you. So do join me in the workshop and the challenge, actually. That's probably the best place for us to connect and hang out, because I'd love to get to know you more and find out how I can just help you feel more awesome, which is basically the summary of what I do. So thank you for joining me, and I will see you next week and hopefully in my challenge and workshop. Lots and lots of love. Bye.